Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Got a lot to cover. I have some short prayers, just prayers that I have used in my own life that have made a big difference, real change, real breaking open a path to transformation. I'm going to share with you those prayers, and I'm going to do that just building off of yesterday's program. I'm going to start with a simple reflection to connect it to yesterday, and then I'm going to dive into these eight prayers. And I'll do so in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, I thank you for the gift of your mother given to us to be our mother. Mother Mary, I do look to you and ask that you would draw me close to your maternal heart, your immaculate heart, your sorrowful heart, and welcome me into your heart, Mother Mary, as I entrust myself to you. I consecrate myself to you again and to your immaculate heart, and I long to be a worthy son of yours, someone who imitates your yes to Jesus, your yes to the will of the Father, your yes to the Holy Spirit. I thank you for always being yes. I thank you for being perfect in your yes, consistent and persevering in your yes. In the midst of every challenge, every difficulty that was along the path that was yours. And so, Mother Mary, I ask that you would teach me to pray and teach me to pray well. I do love you, Mother Mary, and I just thank you for granting me so many graces through your intercession in my life and a love for the rosary. I thank you for that. Mother Mary, just I pray for I give to you those who are listening right now who struggle to understand the communion of the saints, the way that the body of Christ has been designed by God to operate, and how he's not threatened by you, your son is not threatened by you, and loves to see you honored as he honored you. And I just pray for those dear souls, those dear sweet brothers and sisters in Christ of mine who struggle to understand the beautiful communion, this union of saints of that connects us to earth, that connects heaven to earth. I also ask the beautiful, powerful, sweet intercession of the saints in heaven who have accompanied me in my life and in my journey. Just continue to pray for me as I attempt to say yes to the Lord today. St. Thomas, St. Anthony, St. Paul, St. Catherine, St. Joseph, and so many others, pray for me. And I make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to do this program well. I want to be a help to you. Brothers and sisters, I want to be a help to you, that you will grow. And I'm going to insist that if you don't pray, you will not grow. You will not advance in having that sense of contact, communication, and communion with the living God. You will have a diminished sense of God's presence in your day-to-day life, the God who is around you, or who is beyond you, with you, and within you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This God who is transcendent, who is present with you, and who is imminent within you. He encompasses your very life, and he longs for you to have a sensitivity, to be able to have wisdom, that sensitivity to God's own presence in the things that are unfolding in your day-to-day life. He wants that for you.
so that you can glorify him today. You can trust him. I am 60 years old, but I continue to learn the attitude of a child, continue to be challenged to take on the attitude of a trusting child who puts myself into the hands of the Lord. I've been doing that more recently and in different levels. I talked yesterday about spiritual blindness, that there's a blindness that impacts our lives where we're not aware of the things that are blockages to growing in the spiritual life. And the Lord has to reveal those things to us. And that's one of the prayers that I'm going to be sharing with you that I've prayed through the years that have made a real difference. And so in today's program, I'm going to pray that. Yesterday, and I've got some neat stuff to share, but I'm going to save that for tomorrow. I ended up in my journaling time yesterday, reflecting on that being sick as a metaphor for sin as a spiritual disease. And it led me to this term zombie, that we live a zombie-like existence when we are spiritually sick and we are impacted by the disease of sin in our lives. And I don't know how it kind of bubbled up in me, this idea of a zombie. Well, I used an AI tool called Grok, G-R-O-K, Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI company that runs as a counterpart or a competition to ChatGPT. And its engine is shocking. It's incredible. And I'm going to share with you tomorrow a spiritual reflection on the world today being spiritual zombies. Too many of us are spiritual zombies. And also, it got me reflecting on, I want to call it, different stages of the pernicious aspect of the internet. And I came up with 5 stages. And I'm going to share with you those 5 stages of the negative direction and dynamic that has come from the internet that grew really. I'm going to use the starting point of the emergence of the smartphone or shortly thereafter. And so I'll talk about those stages, but I'll do all that tomorrow. Today I'm focused on prayer and on a book I'm writing. I love to say it like that. In this next stage of my life, I'm making space for things that I believe I've been meant to do, but if I'm not careful, they're going to be crowded out of my life. And one of those things is writing books. And so as I've been praying through, what would I write about? What would I write about that's not just the typical stuff that you're going to read in other books, that why just repeat what's already been done? And so I thought, well, why don't I write a book about just very short prayers? Most of them are just a sentence long, that actually are like a tip. They're all tips of icebergs. These sentences, they're on the surface. You know, as you know, like, what do they say? 90% of an iceberg is below the surface. And so the tip of the iceberg is going to be the sentence. But what is hidden beneath that sentence is a transformative power that I've experienced in these prayers. A couple of them I've taken from other sources. Most of them have come out of my own journey of faith and maybe been influenced by one or other person. And so I'll obviously share that as well. But I want you to hear these prayers and take them on. I shared them during the men's retreat, and the guys were very much struck by them, taken by them. And again, for the majority of the men, the majority of these prayers were new and they were fresh, and they have the potential to break open like a new vista, a new horizon for their spiritual lives. And that got me very excited. So I hope that that'll happen for you. Now, if you've walked with me for 20 years on the radio, and it's been 20 years, almost to the day, in about a week, it'll be 20 years of being on the radio Monday to Friday, and even Saturday. And so I've shared a number of these prayers. But to condense them all down into one program like this, my hope is that it'll be a gift to you. And you'll get it before it comes out in a book form. Okay, there we go. So I don't have them in a perfect order yet.
So I'm just going to read them in the order that they are here. And I'm going to start with what is prayer number four, because I alluded to it at the very beginning. And it's this one. Reveal to me my blindness, O Lord, but do it gently. Reveal to me the sins that I'm blind to, O Lord, but do it gently. That's an important prayer. And that's the tip of the iceberg. It's easy to say that. Lord, reveal to me my blindness. And that's kind of the core. That's the nugget, right? But underneath it is a whole iceberg. And it comes back to what? It gets traced back to the idea that sin by its very nature blinds us to itself. We become blind to our own sins. And I want to say that we might, again, if we have a sensitized conscience, we can be much more aware of the thoughts and words and deeds that we're sinning, right? The things that we're saying and doing and even thinking, we can have an awareness of that. The things that we're omitting, I think we have a greater blindness to that, things that we ought to be doing but don't. And I also want to say that we're often blind to our sinful attitudes. Now, a sinful attitude isn't the same as a sinful behavior. The attitude manifests itself in the behavior, right? And so you know what I mean by an attitude. When someone takes an attitude, and that attitude manifests itself in their gesture, in their look, in their words, the things that they're, how they say what they're saying. And we can at times be very blind to it. It was actually one of the quotes I began the entire retreat with, was a quote about there's only one serious illness, and one serious illness, and that is thinking we're quite well, as we're blind to our own sickness, right? That was G.K. Chesterton's character, Father Brown. And so I want to encourage you to do that in Lent. I want to just do that for your spiritual life. There are sins. It could be pride. It could be arrogance. It could be condescension. It could be meanness. It could be short-temperedness. It could be that you're proud. It could be vain, jealous, right? Any of the seven deadly sins, or others. It could be lazy, slothful, right? There are so many ways in which we are, we're slowed down spiritually. We're held back spiritually because of these sins that we're blind to. And you noticed how I said, but do it gently, because the Lord will answer your prayer, and he'll also honor that prayer. If you say, do it gently, he will. He did. I prayed that. I said, Lord, I said, I know that I'm blind to some sins. I don't know what they are because I'm blind to them. So please reveal to me the sins that I'm blind to. And I had a dream shortly after praying that over the course of a few days. I don't remember my dreams, but this dream was a vivid, vivid dream. And when I woke up, it was very present to my mind. And that morning I told Carrie about it. It was a really kind of odd dream. I was in a store and I was buying some shoes, and I walked up to the counter. I would put the shoes on the counter, and I started interacting with the clerk who was going to take my payment for the shoes. And I had sort of a bird's eye view of myself and how I was treating the clerk. And it was ugly. It was really just so off-putting to me watching how I was treating that person. It came across so condescending, so arrogant, so proud. It's dismissive of that person. And I just found it so disgusting. Like, looking at it, that's me? That's me? And so when I woke up, I had that interior, like, turmoil, that interior feeling of disgust at myself, saying, oh my goodness. And I told Carrie the dream, and I said, I had no idea how condescending I am.
how arrogant I am, how proud I am. And Carrie laughed and said, I could have told you that years ago. Oh, it was very humbling. But now all that's gone from my life and I'm just a humble guy, right? No, it was a powerful moment that God used that dream to give me a perspective on my own life that somehow, if others had maybe attempted to make that known to me or allude to that or hint at that or say, hey, you need to work on humility, it didn't break through. It did not break through my blindness. But the Lord in his mercy revealed to me these sins that I was blind to. And it began a whole new dynamic in me to pray for humility, to pray for humility and to seek to be humble. And that's been a journey. It's been 20 years probably since that happened. But I've kept up that theme where I will occasionally have that prayer come back into my life. Lord, please reveal to me my blindness. Reveal to me the sins that I'm blind to, O Lord. And it's a very health-bringing prayer, but do it gently. But do it gently. You don't want it to be too shocking or disruptive to you. So that's my first prayer. That's my first prayer. And I hope that you found that one to be a blessing. In this, the remainder of the show, I'll go a little more quickly through the rest of the prayers. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm teaching you some prayers, short prayers that you probably haven't heard before. Unless you've listened to my program, then some of these prayers you will have heard me say. But these are not typical prayers that you're finding in typical books on prayer. And so my hope is that these short prayers will be fresh for you, and that if you have a little bit of courage and a little bit of perseverance, if you start praying these prayers, things are going to dislodge. You'll begin to have some breakthroughs in your spiritual life. Okay, the second one. The second one is, it's also connected to sin. I guess that's kind of fitting. It's connected to the theme of surrender. In fact, I got a form of this prayer from Andrew Murray, who wrote a book called Absolute Surrender. Absolute Surrender. He was a Protestant spiritual writer, I think of the 50s, maybe even earlier than that. And this is the only book of his that I read. And the only thing that really jumped out at me in the whole book was what I condensed into this prayer. And the prayer is, conquer in me, O Lord, all that resists you. Conquer in me, O Lord, all that resists you. I'm going to say, I dare you to pray that prayer. Again, that's the tip of the iceberg. What's underneath the surface in that prayer? Well, what's underneath the surface is that there is a dimension of our lives. There is a part of our lives where we're in rebellion, where we're rebel, where we are rebels. We say, Lord Jesus Christ, we call upon Jesus as Lord, meaning he has dominion, not us, and as Savior. You're the Christ. You're the Savior, the anointed one who's come to save me. You're my Messiah. I needed to be saved from my sins. And yet, when it comes to the actual choices we make, the attitudes we have, the path that we walk day to day, we aren't fully surrendered. We just aren't. We're not fully yielded to the promptings of the Spirit. We're not fully docile and receptive to the will of the Lord. We're docile and receptive to good things and comfortable things and happy things and pleasant things. I'm not sure we're quite as open and receptive and welcoming and praising God for the trials, the difficulties, the crosses, the sufferings, the tribulations, the courageous, difficult path of walking in a heavy burden, right? These, with Christ in his passion, these are things that dying to self, no one likes dying to self. So acknowledge that in prayer
And one way to acknowledge that is to say, Lord, I love you. I love you. But part of me is resistant. Lord, I give myself to you, but part of me holds back. Lord, I give my entire life to you, but I don't. I hold back. And Lord, I don't know how to not hold back. I don't. And this is, again, this insight. If you heard me talk about honoring Father Mark Noonan, one of his spiritual insights that he taught me and us and in the seminary when I was there with him was, the I can surrender everything except the I who surrenders. That you can give everything to the Lord. You can give it all, except that self that is doing the giving. I can attempt to surrender myself to you, but that's where we bump up against the resistance, the rebellion, the lack and inability, the powerlessness over that part of our lives that refuses, that just out and out refuses because I'm in rebellion. You want that to be broken open. You want that to be diminished. You want that to be broken down. You want that to be crushed in you. I want that. I just speak for myself. And so that's what I pray. Lord Jesus, I beg you, please, please conquer in me. Conquer. Be decisive. Do not hold back, O mighty warrior. O King of Kings, establish peace in my heart by conquering in the core of my being, those attitudes, those behaviors, those lingering dynamics that are part of my life because of nature, nurture, action, personal history and choices that I've made, all of those things, the fallen dimensions of my life, the spiritual attacks that have left its effects on me. Lord, just come as a conquering hero and a mighty Lord. Come, break down the walls of resistance in my heart and in my life. So pray that prayer. Pray it. Start praying that prayer every day, brothers, sisters. Your life will change. It will. You'll start seeing the Lord in his, as this conquering hero, making progress in your life. Oh, by the way, you start doing this for your own life. Now you can see the effects of this rolling into other parts of your life. Conquer in my marriage all that resists you. Conquer in my children and in my family all that resists you. I'm telling you, you pray that prayer seriously, authentically, on your knees. You pray it with a sense of fervor. You're going to change. Brothers and sisters, these are not like gentle Jesus, meek and mild. This is like life-changing kind of praying, okay? And this is available to you if you're willing to undertake these prayers. And that's the second one. Okay. Let's move on. The third one. Okay. The first two were harder, right? Lord, reveal to me my blindness, reveal to me the sins that I'm blind to, O Lord, and do it gently. The second one, conquer in me all that resists you. I didn't see the gentleness there. It was mighty Lord, right? Okay. The third one is addressed to God the Father. And I got this from reading an essay that was spoken. It was a lecture given by Hans Urs von Balthasar in Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris about the little flower Saint Therese. And in the midst of this, he referenced something about the spirituality of the little flower Saint Therese of Lisieux, and about Saint Matilda of Magdeburg. Okay. Yeah, we all know Saint Matilda, right? Our favorite. But he quoted her. And in both instances, it referred to God the Father. And it was that God the Father is awaiting
souls who will come and will look to him to come and expect great things of him, to reveal his fatherliness, to reveal what it means that he's the Father and that he's a good and loving Father, and he will far overwhelm the soul that comes to him expecting him to do great things, and that we receive so little from the Father because we expect so little from him. And just again referencing the spirituality of Saint Therese, and then this quote where God the Father was revealing this to Saint Matilda, that I took that in and I began to pray, Abba Father, shock me with your generosity. Abba Father, shock me with your generosity. And I have prayed that prayer for 30 years. And in 30 years, God the Father has not run out of ways of manifesting his shocking generosity. He hasn't. You think there's only so many ways he can do it. No. Brothers and sisters, we just don't have a clue. We just don't have a clue how good God is, how lavishly he will, and generously he will bless us. He will pour good things upon our lives. His kingdom will come and fill our lives if you give him a chance. And that's why I love to, in my prayer, Abba, Father, Abba, Daddy. There's an intimacy there. There's a personal quality there. There's a nearness. There's a tenderness. There's a goodness. You're not afraid of God the Father. No, you're running to the Father. You're looking to the Father with a great sense of expectation that the Father only has good things for us, right? Jesus, he alludes to this, right? Like ask, seek, and knock, right? If you who are evil know how to give good things to your sons, you'd never give a stone if someone's asking for a fish, or an adder if he's asking for an egg, a snake if you ask, a serpent if he's asking for an egg. No, if you know how to say, how much more will God the Father give you his Holy Spirit? And I'm going to come to the Holy Spirit as in another prayer, but just allow God the Father just to be the Father. Just Father, reveal to me your fatherliness in a way that it would please you. Reveal to me, Father, your goodness and how you want to overwhelm me with your shocking generosity in ways that I couldn't even imagine, with blessings that are unimagined, unlooked for, with mercies, undeserved, with gifts, unasked. He's waiting. God the Father's waiting. Give him that. Your life will change. Your life will change. You can have that intimate personal relationship with God the Father, with the Father. And so I just please, this Lent, to take up that prayer. Take up that prayer, Abba Father, shock me with your generosity. And just give the Father a chance to reveal what it means that he's your Father. He's your good and loving Father. It'll change your life. Okay. Whew. All right, number four. Okay, so today I'm going through eight prayers that I've prayed for decades. And I'm kind of, again, tip of the iceberg type of thing. The prayer is short, but the meaning is big. It's much deeper than just the simple sentences, but I'm telling you, I'm leading with you, just consider welcoming these prayers into your life, and then just watch what God will do. Watch what God will do. All right. Number four. Number four is one that I discovered maybe less than 10 years ago. And it's one that I'm going to say is probably the one that you've come to be familiar with. If you've done the Surrender Novena, the Father Delindo Ruotolo, it's Jesus, I abandon myself to you. You take over. Jesus, I give myself to you. Take
care of everything. But I got to tell you that you take over prayer. That prayer has been so important in my life when things have been out of control, when things have been overwhelming. I've got another prayer that I pray in those circumstances, but this one, I would put that prayer on repeat and I would just have it said over and over in my life until it just washed over, it sunk into me that Jesus, you take over prayer from Father Dolindo Ruotolo. But when I would be just on my own, I would just capture that essence of it. Jesus, I abandon myself to you. Take care of everything. As I abandon myself to you, you take over. This is one of those prayers you don't get it till you experience it. You won't understand the power of surrender, the peace that comes through surrender. It's not giving up, it's giving over. It's not resigning, I quit. It's resigning, I place it into your hands, O Lord. It's that. And so I encourage you so much, please take that prayer on. I abandon myself to you. Take care of everything. That one will, again, it will be just a wonderful, powerful way for you to move forward in the midst of very challenging times. I just have a minute left. I'll start in on the fifth prayer, and I'll link it to this one because it's another one that I would pray in the midst of very challenging times where I'm overwhelmed. And it is, it could be as simple as the word help. And it's, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. Help. I've got nothing. And it's really and truly taking up that position of what Bonaventure, it's not his term, but it's kind of a Thomistic and Bonaventurian way of identifying this attitude in prayer, which is the launching pad of all prayer. It also goes back to Augustine, that all prayer is a gift. And it's praiseworthy desperation. It's holy desperation. It's a desperate before the Lord, looking to the Lord. I'll pick up on this on the other side of the break. Back in a minute.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. I'm sharing with you 8 prayers, and I've got a couple bonus prayers in there too. They're not exactly the same. They're more like attitudes in prayer rather than actual prayers. But you'll get it when I get to the bonus ones. And I think I'll actually be able to get there. I think that's pretty cool. I'm sharing with you these prayers. They're short. They're easy to remember, but they can have a profound impact because of what they are actually asking the Lord to do, what they're asking God. What you're giving permission to God and seeking from God in these prayers can be, again, it'll be disruptive. It'll be transformative. It can lead to a kind of spiritual breakthrough that will be, again, it's these are not business as usual prayers. These are not half measure prayers. These are big prayers, and they're meant to accomplish big things. And if you take them on and pray them sincerely, authentically, consistently, things are going to happen. They're going to happen. So if you're just joining me, the prayers I've already reflected on and discussed were the first one, Reveal to me, O Lord, my blindness, but do it gently. Reveal to me, Lord, the blindness to sins in my life, but do it gently. Second, Lord, conquer in me all that resists you. Third, Abba, Father, shock me with your generosity. Fourth, Jesus, I abandon myself to you. You take over. I abandon myself to you. Take care of everything. Number five is help. I could nothing. I'm desperate. I'm desperate for you, O Lord. And that just goes back to this such an important spiritual condition connected to being a disciple. It's the condition of being powerless. And that's a spiritual condition that is always a part of our lives, whether or not we're consciously, existentially aware of it, because of the circumstances in which we're living day to day. We're often the holy desperation that we are in is obscured to us. So we don't really, we don't have to live from that day to day. There are some people who touch that and walk in that day to day, where they have that sense of being overwhelmed by life circumstances. And so that prayer can be very helpful, but it's actually an authentic prayer that you can pray at any time. It was one of the things I told the guys was, well, I'm not feeling very desperate. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like, well, are you desperate over the reality that you're not yet a saint, the saint that God's intended you to be? Are you desperate over the fact that there are souls that are right in the next 10 minutes going to be facing the judgment of God? And some of these souls may not be ready to face God in judgment. And you can impact that. Are you desperate for them? Are you desperate to protect your kids and your grandkids over modesty, chastity, purity, and self-control and self-mastery for their lives, right? There are a lot of things you could be desperate before the Lord for. Just, you're not existentially like attuned to them. So, all right. By the way, you start praying that prayer and you start praying that prayer in circumstances where you're not feeling it. Guess what? You might just start having stripped from your day-to-day awareness, a sense of just comfortably happy-go-lucky go through your day. You might have much more of a missionary quality of, I want to live for the Lord today, and I'm desperate to serve Him today. I'm desperate to be available to Him today, and to have His power be at work through my life today. Wow, you know, that will change things. That prayer will change things. All right, let's keep moving. I'm going to get through my eight prayers, and then I'll have time for the bonus. I love this. Okay, number six, we're going to take a look at the Holy Spirit in the next couple of prayers here. And the first one is, Holy Spirit, make me a fire and a sponge. Holy Spirit, make me a fire and a sponge. I've shared this story before. I'll share it quickly now. It was when I entered the seminary, I was 19 years old. I got connected to a woman religious who was living a cloistered life in a monastery. The charism of this monastery was that they have bodily suffering, and she had intense bodily suffering every day, and she was praying for me. And she wrote me this letter, and the letter was that she was praying that I would become like, I would be made fire. The Holy Spirit would make me fire like the burning bush, consumed but not destroyed. Holy Spirit, make me fire. And that she prayed it'd be like a sponge, that the Holy Spirit would make me a sponge to take in the word of God, that like that living water, the Holy Spirit would come and it would be so filled in me, the sponge, that I would just be filled, completely filled with that life-giving water of the Holy Spirit. Make me like a sponge to take in all the truth of God. And a few weeks later, I ended up going to confession at the seminary. They would bring in outside confessors, and the priest they brought in one that night was blind. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go to him. And he asked me after I confessed my sins, I said, do I have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit? And I said,
I talked about Jesus. And he said, not Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And I started talking about the Trinity. He said, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, I do believe in the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit wants to have an intimate, personal relationship with you. The Holy Spirit wants to have an intimate, personal relationship with you. He said, I want to give you two images of what the Holy Spirit wants to do to you. He said, the first is fire. The Holy Spirit wants to make you fire. And the second is, yes, guess what? He said, I want you to imagine a faucet with water coming out of it, and then you take a sponge, and that sponge is all dry, and then you put the sponge into the flow of the water, the stream of the water, and the water fills the sponge so much so that it completely absorbs all the water, and then it pours out the bottom of the sponge. He says, the Holy Spirit wants to make you a sponge. It's just so powerful, this confirmation, this letter from this nun and then this blind priest. And it's just like, wow, God, what are you saying? What are you doing, Lord? And he said, here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. He said, every day that you go forward to Holy Communion, when you come to receive Holy Communion, he says, say the Holy Spirit prayer. You know, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle us the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and we shall be created and you really knew the face of the earth. And he said, pray for an intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit to make you a fire and a sponge. And so that was 1984. So for 41 years, I have prayed, Holy Spirit, make me a fire and make me a sponge. Make me like the burning bush. Consumed, but not destroyed. I want to be fire. I want to be on fire for you, Lord. I want to be a sponge to take in your living water. You, Holy Spirit, I want an intimate personal relationship with you, Holy Spirit. And so I really encourage you to pray that prayer. Holy Spirit, make me fire and make me a sponge. Make me a burning bush. I encountered in the catechism, one of the ways of describing the Blessed Mother is that I think it was Saint Anselm said that she was the burning bush of the definitive theophany. She was the burning bush of the definitive theophany. And I'm like, well, by analogy, I can be what the Blessed Mother is. So I'm going to be a burning bush of the definitive theophany. The theophany is the manifestation of God. The definitive manifestation of God on earth is Jesus. And so she was, again, conceived by the Holy Spirit. So she was the spouse of the Holy Spirit. She had intimate personal relationship like no other with the Holy Spirit. And so I want that. I want that intimate personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. Okay, this leads me to my eighth prayer. And my eighth prayer, this is a bit of a challenging one. I'll start it again because this is a two-sided coin prayer, a two-sided coin. I prayed it one way when I was 19 and 20, and then I stopped praying it that way. And I started praying it the other way. You don't know what I'm talking about, but you will. You'll get it. This is my eighth prayer. And it was, Lord, overwhelm me with your too muchness. Overwhelm me with your too muchness. Now, what does that mean? What kind of phrase is your too muchness? I'm going to give you another phrase if that one's too odd for you. It comes from St. Philip Neri. Again, the 16th century priest and eventually cardinal and the apostle of Rome, the apostle of joy, he sought the Holy Spirit. And he was making a novena to the Holy Spirit the days leading up to Pentecost in the catacombs in Rome. And he was just begging for hours, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come. Come make me a fire, come. Come Holy Spirit, come as fire, come as Pentecost. Come in me as you came in Pentecost. And sure enough, he ended up, well, I'll tell you what happened after the break. Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Karn. It's great to be with you. So I was telling the story of St. Philip Neri. This was in, I think it was 1543. He was 39 years old. 39 years old, right? So he's pretty old when this happens. He's vigiling for the Holy Spirit. He's asking for hours over the course of this novena, these 9 days.
Look, I want more of the Holy Spirit, Lord. I'm asking, seeking, and knocking. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want more of your Holy Spirit. I want that personal Pentecost. I want that personal Pentecost. I want that falling of the fire of God to come in my life. So he prays this over these days, and the Holy Spirit comes, and he describes it as this ball of fire that entered his mouth and settled in his heart. And his heart became so inflamed, so heated, that he fell to the ground, and he started rolling around on the ground, and he was crying out, "Relent, relent." Let me translate relent, relent. Back off. It's too much. It's too much. That he experienced the too muchness of God. It was overwhelming. He was overwhelmed by the divinity of God. He was overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit of God. He experienced a personal Pentecost, the bigness of God. And it was too much. And the impact it had on his life, he ended up starting the Oratorians in Rome, and he was known for joy. It just made him so free. And he evangelized, and when he'd preach, people would they would experience these tremendous conversions, the movement of the Spirit in their hearts and minds and lives, just as he spoke. When they were deeply tempted and struggling spiritually, they would come to him. He would just draw them close to his heart, and they would experience that warmth of the heart, the radiance of God's Holy Spirit, and it would wash away the doubts and the temptations. And after he died, they found out that the bones of his rib cage had broken and fused to create a larger rib cage for an abnormally large heart that he had. And you're just like, wow, there's the power of God falling on someone. And the way that I pray that prayer is two-sided. The way that I've prayed it for most of my life was this prayer for a personal Pentecost. This prayer for, Lord, what you did at Pentecost, do in my life. Lord, grant me a personal Pentecost. Grant me an unleashing of your Holy Spirit given to me in my baptism and confirmation. Confirmation is my personal Pentecost. Unleash your Holy Spirit. Unbind and set free your Holy Spirit in me. Holy Spirit, be free. Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Loose your Holy Spirit within me. Release the power of your Holy Spirit in me. Anoint me with the power of your Holy Spirit. So all of that to say, Lord, I want to and I long to encounter your great majesty, your goodness that will fill me to overflowing. That's the goodness of God. Goodness, bonum est divus civum sui. That's the Latin definition of good. The good is that which overflows itself. It cannot be contained in itself. By its nature, it overflows itself. God in your life is supposed to not just be a little drip, a little drab, a little small, little taste. No, not a half-filled cup, not even a mostly filled cup, but a cup that is not just filled, but filled not even just to the brim, but overflows. It's the image in the great spiritual tradition, St. Bonaventure, fountain fullness. God is this fountain fullness. Back to Augustine, right? That fullness, it's surging up. It explodes up, and there's no end. There's no origin to that fountain fullness, that overflowing goodness of God. He overflows goodness in creation. He overflows his goodness in redemption. He overflows his goodness in the pouring out of his Spirit in sanctification. He overflows his goodness in giving us the unimaginable gift of sharing an eternal life. That's what you want to encounter. That overflowing goodness of God. That is, why do we live our life of faith without that kind of power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives? Why? We're not intended to. I mean, the image I gave, I didn't make it up, is the image of, imagine having a vacuum cleaner that's
plugged in. You plug it in because you know that the vacuum cleaner is needed to clean up the mess. You know that you're supposed to plug it in, and you take that plugged in vacuum cleaner, you start rolling it over the dirt. Nothing's happening. You're just moving dirt around. Why? Because it's not turned on. You got to turn on the vacuum cleaner. You got to turn on that power of God in your life. Otherwise, you're going to be trying to do godly things without godly power, and you will not succeed. You'll become frustrated. You know, really, why isn't God moving with more power? Why isn't he helping me? Because we're not turned on to the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. We haven't encountered the too muchness of God, God's overflowing goodness that is beyond what we can contain. Have you ever had to say to God, relent, back off, it's too much? Pray that. I dare you, pray that. Ask St. Philip Neri to pray for you. Take him on as an intercessor. He has prayed for me for 40 years. He's not done. He has room. He has room for others. Pray for that. What happened to him? Let it happen to you. Right? There's room in God for more St. Philip Neri experiences. Okay? Or even something greater. All right. I'm going to move to a bonus prayer now. And this bonus prayer is not for the faint-hearted. This is the other way that I prayed for the encounter with the too muchness of God. And I'm going to recommend this one with discretion, meaning you discern whether you want to pray this prayer. Because I was praying it fervently for quite a while when I was 18 and 19 years old, until God answered the prayer. The prayer was, God, reveal to me my nothingness. Just reveal to me that you are God and I am not. I got it from St. Catherine of Siena. I am he who is, you are she who is not. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray that. God, reveal to me my nothingness, that you are all. You are God. You are divine, infinite, eternal. You are God. Reveal to me that you are God and I am nothing before you. And I prayed that insistently, daily. And when I had a particular encounter with God, that it shook me. I think I was 20 years old when I had that encounter. And maybe 22. Yeah, it shook me how big God is, the unavoidable God who's big. I the reality of God and his divinity, obviously, if he is going to reveal that to you in your life, that is a gift. He knows what he's about, and he obviously is going to do things for your own salvation and spiritual growth. But if that's a prayer that you're willing to take on, amen. You lose my phone number. Don't email me. But that's a big prayer, and that can shake your life. Okay, there you go. All right, I've got one bonus. I've got a bonus prayer for you. And this is my last prayer. It's not even a bonus prayer. It's a prayer for you to grow in your own sense of identity before the Lord. It's, Lord, who am I to you? Jesus, please look me in the eyes and reveal to me, who am I to you? Who am I in your eyes? Reveal to me who I am. We are so stuck in our own sense of identity, false identity, partial identities, and are confused. But who we really are is who we are in the mind of Christ, that the idea we are in God, that's who we really are. Yeah. Ask him to reveal who you are. That it's the encounter with Christ that will change your life. It's the encounter with Christ that changed all of these great saints' lives. And then once that gets settled in you and you realize this gift, the gift that what you have, you've received from God, and it's all a gift, and yet you're precious in his eyes, and he delights in you, he takes joy in you, he enjoys you. Once you know that for yourself, guess what? You start to know that for other people. And when you struggle with other people, you can say, Lord, give me your eyes for that person. Lord, give me your eyes for my wife. Give me your eyes for that kid of mine that's really struggling right now or really doing a good job of hiding their gift quality. And so that prayer, again, will change your life. There you go. All right, so those are 9 prayers that will, short, but game-changing prayers. I hope and pray that it's a blessing to you. There you go. It's my gift. All right, God bless you. See you tomorrow.